Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Did it.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Good afternoon to those of you on the East Coast. Good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever, and oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dyes, broadcasting live from the studios of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, crisp, sunny New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long drive in a rental car provided to you by your insurance carrier, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon. His name is Tough Talkin' Troy Hall. Hey, Troy, how you doing?
I am doing wonderful, and I'm so excited because today is like a day full of music, so we get an opportunity to actually, music gets to be our guest today.
It is, and of course, the best thing for the audience is that they don't have to hear us say a whole lot of stuff, and that's always a big benefit, and sometimes we'll do a show with music, and then I'm not left hogging the conversation the whole show. Very fun.
Wow.
Very fun. Studio audience has chosen this moment to be kind of a wise Alex over there. So very, very funny. So other than that, how's your week going?
Like with everything, there are challenges in management, and so I've had my fair share of challenges this week, but I came off of an very exciting strategic planning program with the National Youth Involvement Board. And again, just for folks who might be listening for the very first time, the National Youth Involvement Board is an organization that is the repository of where you can get the information that you need to provide youth financial education. And we are the number one collector and distributor of that information for credit unions, which, of course, is the industry that I work in. And what's really great about it is credit unions from all across the country will actually record the number of sessions that they have conducted for the youth. And we can use that with legislators to make sure that they never misunderstand the value that credit unions bring to the industry. So for all my credit union folks out there, please make sure you give shouts out to your friends from the NYIB and make sure you're reporting your numbers for financial literacy, because it is very important to the work we do.
Very, very important. It's also a great way of talking about our show today. Today we're going to talk about covers. And if you're not familiar with that term in the musical vernacular, it simply means an artist covers or plays a song that they did not write or compose. They cover a song created by somebody else, and a lot of us do that in our work. We didn't invent banking. We didn't invent Credit Union Inc. We didn't invent the credit union or the brand in which we work. And we have to kind of cover what has always been done. Transactional banking has gone through so many variations and iterations. How do we keep something that's been very familiar to people, walking up to the counter, driving up to the drive-thru, now going online or picking up your phone and depositing a check? How do we find a way to keep reimagining what we do so that, like every great performance, it leaves the audience wanting more, which, of course, is the point of our show, The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? And, of course, big shout-out to our sponsor, Marquee. You heard Troy talking about the NYIB. Whether you are looking at marketing to young people or single-account households or whatever you want, Marquee is there for you with designed and custom designed solutions for banks and credit unions. Go with the plan, go with purpose, go with confidence. GoMarquee.com. They can get you where you want to be with competence, affordable, easy to use, because we are all going somewhere. We were going into 2014. It's hard to believe. I actually sent out an email, Troy, this morning to our good buddy, Diana Dykstra, asking her if she would be gracious enough to, for the fourth year in a row, join us as our final guest. Can you believe if she's able to do that, that she will be on the show?
I know. Awesome. I know. Awesome, awesome.
So our final show of the year will be on December 18th. I think that's the last Wednesday before Christmas. And for the past 3 years, we've just been just so fortunate to have Diana Dykstra come on and talk about her year and talk about the work that she does. She travels a lot. She talks to lots of people. She has a great instinct about where we're going, where we've been as a banking industry, and I'm hoping that she can join us and keep the tradition rolling. Hey, listen, when we get back from the break, we're going to start spinning the tune, some of our favorite covers, some of the songs that, you know, maybe you didn't hear the original, but you heard the new version and you really liked it. That is true for me, at least in one of these songs that I liked the cover more than the original. The other two, it's kind of a toss-up, but that's the way it works in music. In any case, I enjoy all of these songs, and I hope you will too, and we'll do it all right after this. And on today's show, it's where the music is hot, but the hosts are
hotter, much hotter. And I can't wait for that girl to say which one of us is hotter, Jason or Troy.
We'll let the audience think about it. And speaking of girls, this is the Swing Out Sister with their cover of the 1968 Barbara Ackland song by the same name, Am I the Same Girl? Sit back or stand up, shake it out, enjoy it. Am I the Same Girl with the Swing Out Sister?
Why don't you call up and look me over?
Sister with I Am the Same Girl covering Barbara Ackland's 1968 song by the same name. So, Troy, what'd you think?
Well, you know, now that you play it, I remember it.
Yes.
but what I think is interesting is what's behind the story a little bit. So I thought that this would help us in maybe understanding how this all works in with our metaphor of music and band and performance. The original performer or the original person assigned for this song, of course, as you recognize and acknowledge, was Barbara Ackland. And she was actually married to Eugene Record, who was the first song to sing it. However, what happened is it did not make it to the album. I don't know if you knew that, her album, because Carl Davis, who was the producer, pulled her voice from the album and made it a piano instrumental only.
Did not know that.
So Barbara never really got an opportunity to perform. So there must have been something that Carl Davis heard in the voice that just didn't measure up to the type of performance that he was expecting, and so he did a replacement. And when the item was then remade, which is interesting, is that it became a number 3 hit in the United States and went to number 1 in Canada.
Huh.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I did not know that.
Yes. So remakes sometimes have a good reason. And I think what you have to ask yourself is, why do you want to remake it? And I think that we'll save that conversation, and I hope we'll have time at the end of these musical programs for us to really talk about why exactly would you want to remake it. And then you also have to ask, and folks while they're listening to the next song can ask themselves, do you have the guts to actually say to the talent that you currently have, you know, that's not quite up to par.
Yep.
I don't think I want you to be that voice anymore. And so I have another spot maybe for you, or we're going to have to come to some agreement because you're not the right voice for us with what we're doing. And it may either be something, it may not be anything that they've done today, but it could just be that they're not right for the job going forward. So I think there's opportunities for us in that.
I agree. I also think it's something where you say, hey, maybe we can redo it better. You know, things have been going great. It was a great song. It was a great brand in its own right. But maybe we can do it better. Maybe we can rebrand or market things differently. There's all kinds of examples about how we've done some of the same things for a long time. We just simply need to reimagine how we do them. This next song, we're going to slow it down for all the lovers in the house, is one of my absolute favorites. And this is the one that I actually like the original more than the cover, although I love them both equally. When I was in seventh grade, there was a song, you have to remember, Troy, and you remember this, you didn't have iTunes. You had to kind of wait for the songs to come on the radio. And I would wait all day to hear this song on the radio. It was by an artist who actually was living not far from where I was in San Antonio, Texas. He lived in Alamo Heights. He was an Army brat. His dad was an Army pediatrician who actually took care of President Eisenhower's kids. His name was Christopher Cross, and he just blew up the Grammys that year, winning everything: album of the year, song of the year, artist of the year, newcomer of the year, and quite a bit of success in the early 1980s. Well, I was walking through the Minneapolis St. Paul airport about 5 years ago, and I walked into one of those stores that sells all those little gadgets. I think it was Brookstone, and I recognized the melody immediately. And I asked the gentleman, I said, "Who's singing this?" And he just happened to go, "It's Avant." And I said, "Wow, I love this song. I didn't know somebody had covered that old song Sailing by Christopher Cross." And of course the kid was like, "What? Who's Christopher Cross? I thought this was an original song." Well, it's not. It's a cover and a great one. A little more of an R&B vibe. This is Avant with Sailing.
Oh, the canvas can't do miracles. Just
If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more?
Thank you.
unmistakable sound of Gwen Stefani and No Doubt covering the 1984 song by Talk Talk, It's My Life, and right before that, Avant's cover of the 1980 hit by Christopher Cross and Sailing. So, Troy, what do you think? Covers, how do we make sense of that in our contemporary banking world?
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, you have to understand, just like with any performance that you have at your business, if you're going to reimagine or rethink it, the question becomes why, because the why becomes the strategy behind it. So is there a strategic reason that you actually need to remake or revisit, or is it really formulate under a tactical conversation? And so if we take a look at the No Doubt version of It's My Life that we played before, here's some couple of things that are interesting about it. First of all, the song that was originally recorded, and it was originally done by Talk Talk, and in that group, they released that song three times, which was interesting because they themselves couldn't get it right. I didn't know that necessarily. But they took it. I mean, they had an opportunity to release the song, but it wasn't until Gwen Stefani got it that actually it had a little bit more leverage, and it only ranked number 10 in the U.S. Billboard top 10, but her version is the one that's featured on a video arcade game, which then gives it life beyond what would have been just your first round exposure, video games and people playing that. Because what happens when you're doing a video game, it's like when you imagine and remember music, it usually imprints upon you when something special is happening. And you go, oh, I remember that song. Oh, my gosh, I remember that. So you think about your experiences in your work life. And what you might be doing, you might think is just I'm playing the song. But you could be creating that imprintable moment and one that would have sustaining power that went beyond that. So those were just some of my thoughts. And I think the other thing I wanted to say is there was the only strategic decision that No Doubt made about the song was that Gwen Stefani was actually off recording her own music. They did not want to have to write a song, so they scoured these songs to find one to bring her back in to sing so they could put it on the cover of the album so they could release this album. And she could still go do her thing. So
yeah, I remember that.
So
very
to kind
cool.
of think about it from the strategic side of it would have been, how do I release my album? How do I do that? And then they found the solution to be able to do it. So it kind of then moved from that, here's my strategic decision, back into my tactical implementation is find another song and do that. So
yeah. For my part, when I hear these covers, like I said, with the exception of Sailing, I like the cover is much better than the originals. And I remember the Talk Talk version. It was an MTV song that you saw all the time. Where I think it really applies to banking is, again, to your question, why do we make a song like Sailing? That was the song of the year in 1980. Well, I think what happened when Avant remade it is he remade it for a new audience, that a more hip-hop, a more modernized version of the same song. Same thing with the Swing Out Sister. Had a little more pop and that little Zydeco breakdown in the middle. Gwen Stefani, a very recognizable singer and No Doubt at the time, a very, very recognizable brand, takes a song that maybe wasn't as well known and brings it and makes it new and enjoyable for a new generation. And I think that's really where the connection is with banking. You've got to take what you've always done, this transactional banking that's familiar to everybody, and make it something that is enjoyable to a new generation of customers and members. And I think when you really apply some thought and some strategy and, of course, the tactical side of performing a song the right way, you can make it better than what it was. You can create an experience that might have the same words and the same melody, but it sounds different, and not just different, but demonstrably better than the original. And I think that's the connection to modern banking. And with 90 seconds left in this show, I'll let you have the last word on it.
Well, okay, I appreciate that. Unlike my married life, where I never get the last word. But I would say that, again, it's, you know, it's not just about finding something out there and remaking it. There was a purpose for each one of these songs, filled a specific strategic need to be remade, and to do that. When Whitney Houston recorded I Will Always Love You,
yep.
It was a Dolly Parton song. And it's so funny because when people hear Dolly Parton sing, they think, oh, my God, she stole Whitney's song. Are you kidding me? Dolly made a fortune over that song because she owned all the rights to it, and Whitney Houston gets all the credit for singing the song so great that everyone bought billions of albums from. So, but the strategic decision is, you know, doing it. It's like when you find a marketing idea and you want to reinvent the marketing idea, you might put a new spin on it because it has to align with your brand and with what you're doing and who your audience is and how they're used to you, much like the way the band would. So the little uniqueness that gets from it and whether you interpret it to be better or not is not as important as did it produce the results. So in the cases, although for me, the Christopher Cross song, it was not better than the first one, whether you reintroduced it for a new audience. It never achieved the success. Whereas if you take a look at the other two songs, they achieved better success. So
right.
They were better decisions in my mind as far as choosing them for remakes.
Well, hey, listen, folks, join us every Wednesday for the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? And, hey, folks, we are out of time. Troy, you have a great week out there in Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains,
the sun still shines.
And I'm Jason Dias, signing off live from the studios of EloquentOnline.net in beautiful, sunny New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. Until next time, you guys have a great week. Talk to you soon.